presence of the Lord. They went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. Now the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten for them. But Jonah had gone down to the inner part of the ship and had laid down as fast asleep. Amen. Our Father, we are so thankful that you care for us. We're so thankful to be the objects of your love and to receive from your hand the blessings that come from your heart. And here we are now, looking to you, calling upon you, confessing that we need your help as we think about this text that lies over before us. We need your help to understand what you mean here and to know how it applies to our lives. We might become good and faithful ambassadors of Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen. God bless you. Our subject today is running from evangelism. Running from evangelism. Now, by way of introduction, every true Christian wants unbelievers to be saved. You cannot be a Christian or a believer if you have no empathy, no concern whatsoever for unbelievers. Yes? Every true Christian also wants to be involved in evangelism. Why? Because Christ has said, as he left, as he was departing, go, make disciples right of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God, the Son, and through teaching them to obey, right? And so we know that we have been commissioned by Christ himself to go and get involved in evangelism. Many Christians, though, true Christians, have prejudices. Yes, we do. And I shouldn't. Because they're in all of us. For various things. Nobody has arrived, so all of us still have biases that we need to work through. Yes, they're just going to be real honest about it. And we've got those biases towards certain unbelievers, whether it's spoken or not. It shows up in the way we respond and react to it. Now, Israel had failed in God's missionary purposes and plans. Remember, he told them, you are to be a light to the nations. He had chosen, he made him a nation out of Abraham, yes? Started with one man, made a nation, and he said that you will be a great nation, but you will be a light shining to these dark and these dark nations who do not know God. But they had failed. What we find now as we come to this book of Jonah is that Israel had reached the point where they viewed Gentiles negatively. They viewed Gentiles from a judgmental perspective. They saw them as dogs, and they were superstitious. Right? They were idolaters. There's no denying that. But when you start judgmentally looking at people as if they have no worth and no value, and they're unredeemable, you see the problem. Now, with that prejudice, that bias begins to come through. And Israel had reached that point. Though these things were true, when you allow those things to bias you toward a person, now you're not the salt and light that Christ called us to be. Right? And you are now beginning to avoid and run away from your call to repentance. Because of bias. So that's where we start today. And in these five verses, I want you to see that God really does have a plan for redemption. And he really does want us to consider our response to God's plan for redemption. We're going to be looking at Jonah, but I want you to see that this is life for us, for you and I. There's a plan for redemption. God God wants us to contemplate our response to His plan. So let's dive in. God's plan of redemption. So right away, I can see, I hope you can see, that it's God who takes the initiative in that. You and I can talk about it, and I thank God that there's, you know, that we got some heart for it, but you wouldn't have the heart for it if God hadn't initiated it, right? God deserves all of the praise, all of the glory. If you have any desire, any honor, if you have made any movement toward evangelism, God took the initiative. That's, you see verse 1? Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. So it was God who took that initiative. Why? God knows that believers need motivation to be effective in our evangelism. We need to be motivated. Now, we can try to motivate each other, but there's nothing like being motivated by God. When God has motivated you, you don't need people trying to cheerlead you and move you along.
That's right.
You're doing more than anybody participates in Christ.
Yeah.
You know what God has called you to do, yes?
Yeah.
And so believers need motivation from God to be effective in that evangelism. And the good thing is that, you see, God understood Jonah. He knew how to get, how to reach Jonah.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
He knew how to motivate Jonah, how to communicate to Jonah. And he knows the same with you. He knows what it takes to get you up and moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He knows what it takes for you to you to find some interest. And I say to you young people, right now I know that you're looking, you want Christian life to be interesting. God has to make it interesting for you.
Yes.
I can tell you this, the Christian life was never designed to be fun. I know that's what many of you look for, but the Christian life is not fun, it's serious.
Yes, it is.
It's people's life. You go to school with hundreds of students that if they don't hear the gospel, they're going to end up in hell. Forever. Serious business.
Yes.
And so you need to be, and I'm not Tom, this is not a sermon for young people. I just want you all to realize that this is reality. So the motivation is from God for us to be serious about this call.
Yes?
Yeah.
And here's the thing about it. Believers know when they have heard from God.
Amen.
Amen.
You could not be a Christian if you hadn't heard from God. What did Jesus say? My sheep, hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. The only way you are a Christian is that you heard Christ call you.
Yes.
Now you might have been using a preacher or a neighbor, but that's not the point. He said even though he used another voice, you heard him. Yes? And so believers know. And so you know when God has spoken to you. I could stand up here and talk about evangelism for the next 6 months, 2 years. But if you haven't heard from God, it won't affect you. When you've heard from God, it doesn't matter what I talk about evangelism. Yes?
Amen.
When you've heard from God. And so, God is always the initiator. The next thing I notice is that God always reveals His plan. See verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Notice this. Jonah, that God reveals His plan with great clarity and detail. Why? He doesn't want Jonah running all over the place. Just like He doesn't want you and I running all, you see some Christians today. And they just feel like they got to go somewhere. I need to go to India, or I need to go to Peru, or I need to go to China. Why? Is that you don't need to go if God hadn't called you.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to go across the street.
Yeah.
Or you might need to go into the living room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the unbelievers in your own house.
Uh-huh.
Or across town to your cousins and your parents, your grandparents, or whoever. Right?
Amen.
And so, He gives you the plan. And you shouldn't think the plan is the same for everybody. See, He's speaking to Jonah pastor or not. There's no pastor or anybody else involved in it. God went to John.
Alright.
John is as well. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
He knows you. He knows you. He knows where you live. He knows where you hang out.
Yeah.
He knows when you spend too much time with television.
Yeah.
He knows all that. He knows how to get in there. And that's it.
Yeah.
He reveals his plan with great clarity. So there was no confusion about what God wanted John to do. And the thing is that God's plan is reasonable. It's going to require faith, but it's reasonable. He didn't say it's going to be easy. But it's reasonable. In other words, if God is asking me to do it, then it's reasonable. God wouldn't ask me to do anything that's impossible. That's impossible for me. But all things are possible to Him.
Okay.
Yep. Moses had to learn that. God wanted Moses to go be His spokesman. All that Moses could come up with was what? Excuses as to why he couldn't do it.
Yeah, right.
God had to remind him, you're concerned about your mouth? I made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes? You're concerned that you, you're not qualified for this, and you don't feel qualified for that. God said, if I called you, I qualified you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And so, the plan is reasonable, but it's going to require faith. I can't see. Now, God knows you're going to say, I can't see how this is going to work. It's okay. He didn't ask you to see how it was going to work. He called you to what? Obey. Yes?
Amen.
And so God reveals His plan. And be thankful for that. His plan was what? Arise. Go where? To Nineveh. And do what? Lord, cry out.
Yeah.
I don't want you to go to Nineveh and just hang out, have a good time. We love to fly under the radar. Cool and long. I'm just walking along the radar. But there are times that God says, I want you to go in there and I want you to speak for me. It's going to cause you some problems. Terry was talking about basketball. One of the reasons that God made it.
Yeah.
by the time you graduate. Yes.
said, when you disobey God, that is what?
It's sin.
There's no question about it. Disobeying God is sin. So when you avoid evangelism, when God has called you to do it, it is what? Sin. Don't try to sidestep it. When God has called you to evangelize and you don't do it, it is sin.
Yes.
Yeah? Running or avoiding is sin. And I want you to look at this. You got verse 3? Open your Bible. Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. For God just told him what to do. He didn't say, yes, sir, amen, and I'm going to be about the Lord's business. The Bible says the next thing he does is he rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Now let's think about this. Wrong thinking leads to sinful actions, even for a believer. So Jonah now has heard from the Lord, but he has decided that he's going to flee the Lord's presence. Now, what exactly is that? I mean, I'm sure he knew the truth of the sermon, so where can I go from my personal spirit? If I sit in heaven, do the dead, right? Make my home and the children there, if I fly to go, which part can see the Holy Spirit, right? And so, the issue though, about this, you see, God had convicted Jonah in his home, in his residence. So oftentimes what we want to do when God has convicted us, and we want to get out of that place. I need to go to the gym, or I need to go do this thing. I need to go get busy so that I don't have to stay here and be under this conviction. So it ain't always going to get on the ship. Sometimes it's just going and doing something that so my mind isn't under that. Now you say, well, surely Jonah knew he couldn't flee from God's presence. Well, did you know that? When you decide that you're going to go shopping, you got to come back. I'm just being real. Yeah. You know, you decide a new outfit is better than I'd rather buy a new outfit than talk to that person. Golden Corral sounds good. Now, you know, kind of big capital, but you understand. It's not always as radical as this. We disobey, we avoid it in a good way. Try to avoid that conviction because it's really not something we want to do right. See? So you see, wrong thinking, as if you think that God's going away. Wrong thinking leads to sinful action. Wrong thinking also leads to costly action. Think about how much time you're wasting. Think about all the skill. He had to plan this trip. We know how we can plan some trips. Money that was wasted. All because he was not going to obey God. You follow me so far? Here's the thing. Once he had decided to disobey, he found a way. And I'm telling you, once you decide not to evangelize, you will find something to do with your life. And you will think it's all right. You'll find something to get involved in. Yeah. You good know what I'm talking about, John. But this is something that all of us need to work through. Because once you've decided not to do it, you will find something to do with your time, your skill, your money, because you want to try to appease yourself that I'm doing something for you. So running is sin. But running is also deceptive and dangerous. I see that in verse 4 and last word of verse 5. Yeah, verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. What's the point, little wind? You can't get away.
Disobedience that
affects other people. Unbelievers are negatively be affected by a believer's disobedience. That might be the reason you're having so much trouble on your job. Because you won't obey God. John didn't want to hear you. But the people that you work with might, they come in and they tell you about all the problems they have with their children and the folks around them. How they're fearful of what's going on in their lives. And then they tell you about how they're trying to solve it. And you're sitting there listening without any giving them any truth. Trying to sleep around. Fly out to the radar. They're suffering because of their sin. I'm not preaching at you because of my disobedience. Talk to people in the gym. I know that there are times that I should be on the floor, but I'm thinking that I'll talk to them next week. You know how I do. I got another problem. So running affects other people. Any believer with prejudices, with fears or preconceived ideas, will find an excuse to disobey God in that way. Any prejudice that you hold, you will find an excuse when God tells you to deal with it. Our God communicates with us. Thank God for that. The Father communicates with us. The Son communicates with us. The Holy Spirit communicates with us. Yes? He reveals His will for our lives. He reveals when and where and how He wants us to go. He reveals when and where and how He wants us to speak. He reveals when He wants us to be silent, when He wants us to stay. He reveals when He wants us to give, when He wants us to sacrifice, when He wants us to join. He makes it known because He speaks. And you know His voice. You know it. You know when you've heard from God. Our God reveals His love and His compassion for sinners who are still in slavery to sin. He reveals His love and His compassion for sinners who are still in slavery to sex and drugs and pornography, still in slavery to crime and evil of all sorts. He said, what the heck? You sin this every day.
Yeah.
I love them. Don't let your bias. I know what they're doing is ugly, but what you did was ugly too. Can't put your sin here and their sin now. Right? Sin. The wages of sin is death. Any sin. For He reveals His love, His compassion for those who find themselves in the worst of situations. Would you like to know that?
Amen.
You know what I like? When I saw you along the way, God often plans to save the worst of people and the worst of people. Nineveh was a sin of people. It was so awful that God said, the stench of it has come up before me. But did that stop God from going to this? How are they going to hear with it if you don't know? How are they going to hear if you don't speak? How are they going to hear if I don't send you? Yeah. They can't hear if you won't, first of all, go to them. Go over to their workstation. Go over to across the room or wherever it is. They work a different shift. Go make plans to meet them somewhere. If you don't go, they won't hear. The worst, the worst, the worst.
found me in my nest.
Yes?
You say he found me in yours. He prepares the believer and the unbeliever for evangelism. Now here's a fact. Listen to me very carefully. Even though God prepares the believer and the unbeliever, both can disobey. God allows both the believer and the unbeliever to disobey. Neither will be blessed, but he allows you to disobey. But thank God he loves us as children too much to let us stay in disobedience. Right? Those whom he loves, he chastens, he disciplines like a good father. So even though I've not obeyed in evangelism, God still deals with me. Right? Disciplines me and shows me with it. There's no better way than to do what I'm telling you to do. You'll never be free until you face this prejudice that's in you. This bias, you don't talk to anybody about it, but it's in you. Your skin just crawls to think that you got to go talk. You deal with this person. What are these kind of people? You say, well, I love everybody. That's a lie. And you know what? I want to. But unless you're perfect, you can't. You don't love everybody. And hopefully nobody will raise their hand and say, I'm not a rock. We all got issues of love we need to work through.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
We all need to hear Jesus say to us, as he answers, who is my neighbor? Every believer should repent and confess prejudice. Every believer in this room should repent and confess your bias. Every believer in this room should repent and confess your fear. Confess your laziness. Confess your love for pleasure. Confess your love for comfort. Confess your love for tradition. Confess your love for big numbers so we can just kind of hide in the mass of people. Confess it before God calls you to a specific assignment for evangelism. Because if you have it, it's going to keep you from obeying. The very thing that you enjoy will keep you from obeying God and his call. Because he calls you out of your comfort zone. Yeah? You remember how we've talked so much about pushing away from the shore. I want to push away. I want to get away from the Savior. Say, we've been sitting on the shore so long. I just want to push out into the deep. What's out there? That's the problem. When you push out in the deep, you don't know what's out there. But you got to be willing to deal with whatever is out there. Yeah?
Right.
You must not attempt to run or avoid God's call. You cannot escape God's presence or his power. Disobedience will only bring harm to you and harm to those around you. Say yes. Say yes to his call for evangelism. Yes without reservation. Yes without hesitation. Yes without qualification. Yes, Lord. Isaiah said, here am I. Yes. No restrictions, no conditions. Here am I. Here I am, Lord.
Yes.
Now that's easy to say. But is that really where you are? We talk a lot about getting ready to meet our neighbor, but are you ready? You ready for who we're going to meet? You got your biases all worked out? You got a certain kind of people that can come and join you. You see the problem? Certain homes you go to, if you don't like what you see, you're not going to really be as
as open and effective as you should be. Mm-hmm. You see the problem? That's how I'm doing. You say, well, I'm ready to go, are you? You ain't done with your preferences. Mm-hmm. You're not ready. Mm-hmm. Your biases. You see, if you got to proselytize somebody and make them just like you, you're not ready. There's only one model. Everybody ought to be striving to be like him.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Amen. And if you recognize today that you are an unbeliever, if you are aware today, if God has made you aware today that you are an unbeliever, he wants you to say yes to him too. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to run anymore. He doesn't want you to hide behind your thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go back and you're secure, and because you're good at this or you're good at that. God says, I want you to come out too. Because Christ wants you to see his love and compassion too. He wants you to say yes. Yes, Lord, I want to be delivered. I want to be saved. He's here today to save you. Mm-hmm. This is your day. Say yes to him. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you.